Ma Nishma. Een programma met een interview waarin het onderwerp altijd te maken heeft met Israël en het Joodse volk. Ma Nishma. Dat wil zeggen, hoe gaat het ermee?
Welcome to the studio of Radio Israel. My name is Angelique Bril, and we are here for an interview with James Block. He is here with his wife, Liz, as well. And welcome from Israel to the Netherlands and in our studio.
Thank you.
Can you tell us something about yourself?
Yeah, of course I can tell you lots of things about myself. I mean, I guess I can start with where I originally come from. I originally come from Canada. I was born there and born into a Christian home, good Christian home, and ended up in Israel. That's obviously the short version, and finding my wife there and finding a real special task, you know, to record music, especially with the scripture as the basis. And so, I mean, this is a big part of my life now. Is music, and so I come from a musical family, and I was actually the one kid in the family, though, that didn't really do anything musical. That's the funny, ironic thing. But that my brother and my sister, they were taking piano lessons and singing in church and doing all kinds of stuff. But me, I never did that stuff. And never thought I actually would ever be doing music, even though I loved to worship. And even at a young age, like 7 years old, I would just love to worship in the privacy of my room. You know, just turn the music real loud and just dance, like, with such joy. And that pleasure of worship is a big part of my life. Big, big part of my life. And it's what even brought to me to this place. You know, I don't think of myself even as being a trained musician. All I did was basically worship and enjoy the instrument and enjoy worship. And I got better just doing that. I didn't actually start playing an instrument till I was 15 or 16. Before that, it was just like my parents trying to get me to play music. Like, it was the kind of standard thing my brother and my sister did, but it just didn't take off. I wasn't a normal kind of person, you know. I couldn't just play by notes like they were teaching me. I think I was only five, so I was probably just making up my own thing even back then, and they were like a little bit frustrated and not knowing what to do with me. And so I have kind of strange gift that way. I like to play my own music, like what comes from my heart.
And you play piano, and are there other instruments you play?
Yeah, I started with piano when I was about 15 or 16, and that just took off. That was like my main instrument, you know, just exploring that. And then when I was about 21, I got a guitar and just started playing on the beach. We have beaches in Canada, actually. That's warm up in the summer. So in the summer, I remember getting my first guitar and just playing through songs, worship songs with the chords above the lyrics on the beach, just learning how to play, and just kind of happened all naturally from there. But I didn't even start writing really music until I came to Israel.
And can you tell us something about Israel? Can you tell how you met together and arriving in Israel?
Yeah, I actually came to Israel the first time during this whole season of my life that I traveled. I quit my job. I had 10 years at the same job from about age 21 to 30. I guess that's 9 years, almost 10 years. And just one day I couldn't do it anymore. I had enough of it and I quit, and then didn't even know what I was going to do. So I went traveling because I did always want to travel, and I had met people from Europe that came to Canada, and so I visited them, and it just ended up being a 3.5 year season of traveling. And near the end of that, I thought, you know, I've been to almost 40 countries and I've never been to Israel. If I'm kind of winding down on my travels here and I'm going to get settled down one day, I don't know how. At the time, I was loving it, but it does get a bit tiring. But I thought, you know, I gotta at least see Israel before I'm done with this season of travel. And when I got to Israel, it just struck me as really, really special. And I felt like there was some destiny for me there. I didn't even know how to describe, and I didn't even have a mind for it, a grid for it, really. Like, it was just something I felt in my spirit. And I felt like my wife was there. And
You did know your wife already then?
No, I didn't. I didn't know. I guess I was wandering around looking for her. And when I got to Israel, I just felt like she's over here, like somewhere she's here. After 40 countries, I think she's here. So, but I didn't know if I was just dreaming or hearing voices, or if it was really, really from Elohim that he was telling me this. So I actually, after a couple months, I realized I couldn't stay in Israel. And I realized you can't just, Israel's not a normal country you can just kind of immigrate to normally. You have to show papers, proof of Jewish ancestry, and letters from rabbis. I had nothing, none of that. Even though I guess my name, Block, is a Jewish last name, I had no known history in Jewish roots. So I couldn't make Aliyah. I couldn't move there. So I eventually went back to Canada and tried to get back to my old job and my old life, and I just couldn't. I kept thinking about Israel. So I came back, and then I met my wife, and then I began to understand how even biblical it is to feel connected to the land of Israel. It's not just for the Jewish people. There's a bigger picture here. And I mean, you know, when you don't know your own genealogy, you just go by what's in your gut. And in my gut, I felt like this was home. I still, even to this day, don't fully understand it. But one thing I know for sure is that, you know, as Yeshua, if when we become believers in Yeshua, we're not part of a new organization or a new religion. We're actually part of a people called Israel. And that revelation, you know, it's simple, but it's very life-changing and powerful. And that revelation hit me, you know, the second time I came back. And it kind of, and then I started to really like fall in love with Shabbat and the feast days. They were like a part of me, and I didn't even know it. They were like a lost part of me that I was rediscovering. I remember, you know, being at the Western Wall in Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, and I pushed my way through the crowds, dancing, all these Jewish people dancing. There's a lot of joy and a joyful atmosphere. And I pushed my way to the Western Wall. And when I find, you know, it's hard to get there. I don't know if you've been there on the feast day. It's hard to get to the Western Wall, but I pushed through and I put my hands on the wall and I just felt like I was giving my big dad a hug, you know? And I began to weep, and I just felt like, wow, how did I miss this all these years? Like, this is me. This is who I am. This is like what I was, one of the main things I was missing. So, you know, the identity and the feasts and the Shabbat all kind of go together, you know? So that was like being born again, almost. It was very powerful. And it changed my life, you know, forever, because I began to call Israel home. And then I met my wife. So it was perfect timing.
Can you tell us about something about you, yourself, Liz?
Well, obviously, my story would be very different to James. For him coming to Israel and growing up in Canada, for me it's very different. I was born in Israel and raised in Israel and lived there my whole life. And I didn't came from a Christian home. I grew up in obviously a Jewish home, so we have a very different upbringing. And
it's like, if anybody's ever seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm like the mellow family, like quiet and reserved, and hers is the very loud family, the Greek family.
The party family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, I grew up in a Jewish secular home. That was basically my childhood, and in years later to come, I think very miraculously I found Yeshua in my life, even though I was looking for something and I didn't know what I was looking for. And I think finding Yeshua in my life was the last thing I was expecting of. So I never thought that I would probably even marry someone like James.
So how did you meet?
We met, I went to do some traveling, and when I came back, I decided that I wanted to try a home group instead of going to the Messianic congregations in Jerusalem. And I had a roommate that going to this home group, and so I joined her. And this is pretty much how we met. We met there in this home group.
And then you were living, James, in Jerusalem, or?
Yeah, I mean, I just had a tourist visa, but I had felt like I'm going to live here. I didn't even know how. And I felt right away like I got to go to Jerusalem, and I got to live in Jerusalem, and I got to go to this home group. And a month after I had been going to this Bible study / home group, which was all older people, she showed up, lovely Liz, and I was like, whoa, I got to meet her. Yeah. And we were just talking about it the other day, how I didn't, when I first just went across the room after the meeting was over and I introduced myself, and then right away I said, oh, I'll sing you a song. I had my guitar with me and I sang Dance With Me, O Lover of My Soul.
I remember thinking to myself, where did he came from?
But what's really funny is, I have to say, you know, Liz didn't grow up with a lot of rules and boundaries. I mean, I did, good boundaries. But she didn't grow up with really any, except for one. And that one rule is the one she had to break. And that one rule was, don't marry a non-Jew. So the one rule she had, she broke.
Yeah, actually, it was quite intense when you think about it, because it took me a long time to tell my family about James.
Yeah. Actually, wasn't it like 3 months? I mean, I kept waiting, like I was a little nervous, like we're dating already and I'm pretty serious. We're pretty serious, and she's not telling her mom yet. And I was like, does that mean she's not very serious, or she's just, I remember like really praying, like
it
even
was
with,
like dropping a bomb on my mom to tell her something like that.
Was it more intense than that you were a believer in Yeshua?
Both were very intense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and probably you marrying me just solidified the whole,
I think so,
the whole, yeah, thing about believing in Yeshua. Yeah.
But you both did, and you are married now.
Yeah.
For how many years?
13 years. Yeah, a long time. It goes fast.
And you always go with him on tour?
Actually, yes. Yeah.
I don't think we've been apart for more than one day in our whole married life.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Longing. a new song, sing a new song to Yah. All the earth, sing a new song, for he is coming to judge the world with perfect justice. Let the oceans roar, the mountains sing for joy, oh, clap your hands.
So, can you tell us something about your music? Because I listened to your music and I found out that you have many texts you're using in your music, like prophetic texts from Isaiah or Ezekiel. And it hit me. It got to me because it's very intense. And I'm curious about the background of it and how you got to that.
Well, I could tell you, I could start with, actually, I didn't even know I was going to be, you know, writing and recording music as my main thing. When we got married, I was just doing kind of odd jobs. And I'd even kind of laid down my guitar for a while. I was busking on the street a bit in Jerusalem, but I got just tired of that, and I just, it wasn't even playing for like 6 months, and my mother was back home and she knew that I wasn't even playing music anymore, and she was suddenly grieved about it and started fasting for me, and which is amazing.
Wow.
So mothers, you know, your prayers are very effective for your children. I think, you know, just as a little side note, that nobody else can have as much authority in prayer as a mother and a father for their kids. So, because I always felt it when my mother was praying for me and my dad, you know. But that time she was praying, and that was right around the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. And I was just, you know, the first day of Sukkot, I just pulled out the Psalms, and I just pulled out my guitar after like not playing it for almost 6 months. And I just started writing a song to one of the Psalms. And then the next day, I thought, oh, I'm going to try and remember that song I wrote. You know, it was kind of encouraging me. And then I'm writing another song. And it went on for 7 days, the 7 days of Sukkot. It was a miracle. Like, the heavens opened. And if you've been to Jerusalem in the feasts, it's a different world. Like, it's like the oppression lifts. Because there is an oppression in Jerusalem. I mean, there's a lot of inspiration also, but there's a lot of oppression, spiritual and physical. And it's just like in the feast, it's like it all lifts, at least to some degree. And in that atmosphere, a joyous atmosphere of Sukkot, I wrote these seven songs. And I, you know, that's how it started. I don't write seven songs in a row. I haven't done that since, but maybe one song a month or so. But, and now I have like 80 songs, but so that's how the writing the music began. And I started mostly in the Psalms. So I called my first two albums Selah, because it's used a lot in the Psalms. And I just like that kind of mysterious word, you know. And then I eventually started getting into the prophets, Isaiah and Ezekiel, because they just, whatever what would strike me, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit would highlight to me, and it could happen many ways. I could just be at a meeting and somebody reads a scripture and all of a sudden it just strikes me and I go home and I got to write a song to it. Or I'm just playing a melody on the piano, making up a melody, and the words of a psalm or a text in the scripture comes along with that melody. So I go and look up that scripture and then I finish the song. So that's kind of how it happens. But every song I write is very like dear to my heart, and it's not just from my head, like it's touched my spirit and it's encouraging me and it's uplifting me and I want to hear it again and again. So I almost instinctively write a song with the help of the Holy Spirit, you know, to encourage myself. It's like the Holy Spirit knows what I need to feed me, what I need to hear over and over. And so I'm drawn to scriptures, and what some of the scriptures in Isaiah are very encouraging, and Ezekiel 37, about us becoming a mighty army in the earth and rising from the dead, basically. Because you don't see that right now. We're disconnected into like thousands of denominations. We don't even see ourselves as a national identity. We don't have a national identity. We are disconnected from our roots, and we're definitely not united. And so when you a scripture like that is so powerful to declare, and then the part like Ezekiel was told to declare, boy ruach, boy, come spirit, wind, come wind of the spirit, and breathe on these dry bones. And so that was a very powerful song for me, you know, to encourage me, because I see us all as these dry bones, all the believers, and not just the Jewish people in Israel. We're all part of this big picture of Israel. And he's got to breathe to restore this identity and so much more. I mean, so and to heal the disunity and the brokenness. The scriptures like that, like, yeah, they're just so powerful. You can't resist but write a song. Even that song, that's an interesting song, because I started that one, this melody on this picking style on the guitar that I hadn't really done before, and you'll hear it in the song. It starts with the guitar, and I had, all I could feel in my spirit was like, wind, there's wind. Something about wind in this song, because I wrote it, we were in the north, and it was really windy, and I was sitting outside, and I started playing this rhythm on the guitar, and I just kept thinking of wind. And so I was trying to write a song from my head about the spirit or something, and it just wasn't flowing. And then a week later, I opened to Ezekiel 37, and the words just fit right in.
Wow.
Yeah. And those are some miracles that really happen sometimes, and you just go, wow. And so I think a lot of people really like that one too. That one really touches. And then there's Isaiah. You said Isaiah. I mean, there's so many amazing. I just wrote one from Isaiah, I think 41, because we were going through Isaiah in our home group. And it's so encouraging, like, you must fear not, O Jacob, for I will hold you. I will hold you, and I'll hold you with my right hand, and I am with you. I will help you. I mean, it's just simple, but so deep. And so, and how he calls us Israel. I love using that. So I wrote the song from that, as if the Father speaking to us, you must fear not, O Jacob, my servant and my friend, for I will help you. I'm upholding you with my right hand. I'm still your Elohim. I'm the one who called you out of darkness from the ends of the earth. And I will strengthen and I will help you. Those are the words. I mean, it's just, when you put it to music, it's just so powerful. So that's how it kind of gives you an idea how it happened.
Nice. We are going to listen to some of your songs.
The hand of Yahweh
upon me, and he took me far away to a valley filled with many bones. They were very, very dry. He said, "You must prophesy, O Son of Man. You must speak to the wind." So I prophesied as he commanded me. This is what I did say. Come, breath of Yah. And they came to life, and they stood to their feet. A mighty army, too big to number, so exceedingly great. And he explained to me, what is the mystery? This is the house of Israel. Though they say they are cut off, though they say they don't belong, though all their hope has been lost, forgotten who they are, I will raise them from the dead, bring them from the north and south.
Can you tell us about how Keith Green inspired you?
Oh, that's easy. Yeah, I mean, he just did. I mean, I probably listened to Keith Green more than anybody else in the world.
I don't know if our listeners know who Keith Green is. Maybe you can tell us about him a little bit, and then you can say us what inspired you.
Well, it's amazing because I come from more a conservative background, you know, maybe more like Baptist, Mennonite kind of background. Alliance, we went to an Alliance church when I was growing up, which is more like a Baptist church, more very Bible-based, but not so expressive in worship and stuff. But when I was 7, my dad brought this tape home because they went to a memorial concert. He had just passed away, and they went around the world, like, just sharing the last concert in video. And he brought back a tape called Songs for the Shepherd. And I'd never heard music like that. Like, it just, that's when I started, like, dancing, like, wildly in my privacy of my bedroom, playing on these little speakers. So, and then, you know, when I was a teenager, I just kept listening to his music, and I finally read his book called No Compromise. And he's talking about, like, how the Holy Spirit moved in the 70s, early 70s especially. And that's when he became a believer. And I was like, wow, that was a real, I was just interested in that, you know, and how he'd talk, how he'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I didn't really experience those things. And I didn't experience worship like that, except in the privacy of my own home. But when I heard the way he sings, I could hear such emotion and conviction. And I was drawn to that. And I was also drawn to this whole Jesus people movement that happened in the 70s. And it's interesting because I noticed there's a film that came out called Jesus Revolution. And it's like there's something stirring again. There's something that did happen in this early 70s. That, you know, kind of fades out, but I feel like there's another wave of it coming. And when I would listen to Keith Green's music, it was like it would take me back to that time when the Holy Spirit was moving fresh amongst the young people in California and all over the world. And interesting enough, he was Jewish, and during that time, a lot of Jewish people became believers and even opened the whole Christian world to a lot of messianic ideas and Hebraic ideas that we weren't really exposed to. So that was a very powerful time in history. And so reading his book and listening to his music, it kind of connected me to that time. And I still feel like I received something from what happened then. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I didn't know that he was Jewish, but that's new for me. But I know his story, yes.
And his wife. His wife was too, yeah.
Okay. So, are you still in the home group in Jerusalem, or are you going to a church? Or
yeah, we have a lovely little home group. I love home groups. We've always really focused on home groups, even when we got married. That's how we met each other, in a home group. And yeah, we're going to a home group right now. It's been really a big blessing. You know, it's like it's really easy to get prayer support and encouragement and to open up in a home group. And I find that very valuable. And I also love leading worship in a home group. That's my favorite place. I can really let loose and you know, experiment in new ways, I guess.
Ah, yeah.
Test out new songs. And even I think this last home group, I even kind of, some of the melodies came that I'm writing now, or the songs I'm writing now in this next album, come from times of worship at that home group. And like I said, even like this Isaiah song, it comes out of, was inspired by going through that in our home group. So I really like the home group because it's like, I'm always like hungering for this balance between loving the word and getting deep into the word, but also loving the freedom of the spirit. You know, and so I'm always, I like the combination of those two things because I always feel like they're always polarized so often. Either, you know, everybody's, a church is really charismatic or really Bible-based and a little bit quiet, too quiet for me, you know. So I like this group. It really mixes the two, you know.
Nice. What is your favorite song?
Well, I think it changes all the time. That's a problem. But like always, the newest ones are most fresh to me, and I'm singing the most, and I'm listening to the most. Especially like a new album. Like I have a whole album of new songs that nobody's heard, and only me and my wife, really. And I play them every day because they encourage me. And then I can hear things that I want to tweak, you know. But I would say one of the most special songs at the moment for me is Beholdy Is Coming. It's just the way I wrote it and recorded it, I just felt the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, just the whole time. Usually recording is like work. And usually recording is like work, and it just like, it's hard. It's very technical. And sometimes you feel a bit dull and uninspired when you're trying to do different music parts. But this song, when I recorded it, it was just a blast the whole time. I felt so inspired. And it's also a unique song because it has many scriptures involved. If people go on and look it on YouTube, in the description, they'll see how many scriptures really there were. Like, there's like 30 scriptures that are alluded to in the text. So it was like this, and it's like almost 8 minutes long. And it's like a compilation of all these scriptures that I felt by the Holy Spirit were connected to his coming. Because I think this Isaiah and Ezekiel are referring to it all the time, the day of Yah. And so I just tried to put it together in a picture. I didn't even try. I felt like I had lots of help from the Holy Spirit, obviously. Because it's hard to do a song. It's just, if you're dull, he's got to give you life and stuff. So that song is very special to me.
And you use a lot of Yah in your songs. Can you tell us why you are using this name?
Well, when I first came to Israel, I saw somebody was teaching, this Messianic rabbi, and he's writing out these letters in Hebrew, and he said Yud Hey Vav Hey, and I was like, what? Why is he writing? What's so special about those letters? And then I realized, oh, that's the name of God. That's his name. He has a name. And so the letters are Yud Hey Vav Hey, and it was like, what? How come I didn't know this? He has a name in Hebrew, and it just, I mean, people pronounce it different ways, but, and there's lots of controversy about that. But when I saw that, and I was like, I want to use that name in prayer. I want to sing with that name. I mean, this is so powerful. And I know it's not standard amongst the Jewish people. They say Hashem. They just say the name, which means the name. But when I saw it, I was like, okay, I don't have anybody telling me what to do. So I'm gonna use the name, right? So, and that's a lot of fun about my situation, is I don't have a record label or anything telling me, anybody or a ministry promoting me or anything. You know, I can do how I feel led. And so right away, I was like, this is so powerful. I've got to use his name in the recordings. And so I start first song, and actually at the time, not really many people were even trying. Now there's a lot more people who are using his name. And so that's kind of interesting. But at the time, nobody was really, that I could find. I mean, people say different way. I kind of like, if I can just say Yah, because everybody pretty much agrees on that part of the name. And some say it different, but the Beholdy Is Coming, like Breath of Yah. It's like nobody, because people will write me like, you should say his name like this. And I'm like, I'm like, well, I mean, we'll find out one day the right way. But I'm just doing my best right now. And I think it's honoring to the Father to use the name.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you so much for coming here to the studio. And we are going to listen to another song. And thank you so much for being here, you two, Liz.
Thank you for having us.
Yahweh bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious. And be gracious. Yahweh lift up his countenance, turn his face toward you and give you peace, and give you peace, and
geluisterd naar Manishma. Een programma met een interview waarin het onderwerp altijd te maken heeft met Israël en het Joodse volk. Wilt u het programma nog eens naluisteren? Dan kan dat. Ga naar radioisrael.nl en klik onder het kopje radio op uitzending gemist.